What if the line between civilization and savagery was thinner than we'd like to admit? We recoil at the thought of consuming human flesh, yet cannibalism has woven itself through nature, history, and even our own cultural practices in ways that challenge everything we think we know about what's natural. This isn't just about horror movies or tabloid headlines. It's about understanding a biological phenomenon that appears across species, including our own, under specific conditions. When we peel back the layers of revulsion and examine cannibalism through a scientific lens, we discover it's not an aberration, but an adaptation, not madness, but survival calculus. The question isn't whether cannibalism exists in nature, it's everywhere. The real question is, what does its prevalence tell us about evolution, human nature, and our precarious future? In evaporating Arizona desert pools, spadefoot-toed tadpoles face a brutal timer. Some transform into cannibal morphs with massive heads and elongated teeth, devouring siblings to mature in 20 days instead of 30, escaping before the pool becomes a death trap. Tiger salamanders show similar plasticity, with crowding triggering cannibal forms that can smell and avoid eating relatives, unless starvation overrides kinship. Many invertebrates don't recognize offspring as special. Rock snails lay 500 eggs, but only 16 hatch. The rest become the newborn's first meal. Black laceweaver spider mothers go further. After 3 days of feeding, the mother drums on her web, summoning her babies to swarm and devour her alive. It's macabre theater with perfect evolutionary logic. Atlantic cod release millions of eggs per spawning, with only one in a million reaching adulthood. When you're a million times larger than your eggs, they simply look like food. The praying mantis's mate-eating reputation is largely laboratory myth, but redback spiders embody true sacrifice. The tiny male performs elaborate courtship, then somersaults during mating, deliberately positioning his abdomen at the female's mouthparts. She devours him while he mates again, maximizing offspring through his death. Mormon crickets, actually jumbo katydids, demonstrate how overcrowding triggers cannibalism across species. When millions hatch simultaneously, they begin coordinated marches across landscapes. Staying with the swarm reduces predation from 50 to 60% to near zero, but protection demands a terrible price. Needing protein and salt for reproduction, they turn to each other when vegetation fails. The march becomes a forced migration, where stopping means becoming food. This isn't viciousness, it's adaptive response to environmental pressure. Commercial poultry operations see identical patterns when birds are overcrowded. Whether insects, birds, or people, density-dependent cannibalism emerges when populations exceed carrying capacity and alternatives disappear. Polar bears have practiced cannibalism since at least 1897, yet they've become poster children for climate change sensationalism. Males kill and eat cubs for nutrition and reproductive advantages. Females become sexually receptive faster after losing offspring. In 2006, researcher Stephen Amstrup documented three unusual cannibalism incidents in the southern Beaufort Sea, hypothesizing links to nutritional stress from longer ice-free seasons. Media reports seized on climate connections while omitting polar bears' long cannibalism history, inadvertently arming climate change deniers. The nuanced truth? Cannibalism in polar bears isn't new, but changing environmental conditions may be increasing its frequency, a reality requiring careful communication in our polarized landscape. When Neanderthal remains surfaced in 1856 Germany, a flawed reconstruction depicted them as stooped, ape-like brutes, a stereotype persisting in phrases like, "you Neanderthal." Modern research reveals they possessed brain capacities sometimes exceeding ours, used fire, wore clothing, and created sophisticated tools. Yet evidence from Spain, France, and Croatia confirms they practiced cannibalism. Bones show identical processing to animal remains, cut marks, gnawing, percussion damage, marrow extraction. At Moulin-Gercy in France, six Neanderthal remains appeared alongside deer bones, all processed identically. Their ancestors, Homo antecessor, also practiced cannibalism at Atapuerca 550,000 years ago. Abundant game animals suggest these hominids simply viewed other humans as acceptable food. When Columbus reached the Caribbean in 1492, peaceful Taino people warned him about the fierce Caribs, allegedly cannibals, raiding for human flesh. Columbus seized this narrative to justify enslaving indigenous peoples. The word cannibal derives from a Spanish corruption of Carib. Spanish law initially forbade enslaving indigenous peoples unless they were cannibals, creating powerful incentives to label all natives as man-eaters. This pattern repeated globally. Historical evidence suggests ritual cannibalism may have occurred in some Caribbean societies, but European accounts were wildly exaggerated or fabricated. Yet while condemning indigenous peoples as savages, Renaissance Europeans enthusiastically practiced medicinal cannibalism. Blood was most commonly consumed, prescribed for epilepsy. Epileptics collected fresh blood at public executions. Physicians prescribed medications from powdered skull, human liver, brain oil, pulverized heart, bladder stones, warm blood, breast milk, and gall extract. This wasn't fringe medicine. European royalty embraced it. In 1846, 87 pioneers left Missouri for California, taking the disastrous Hastings Cutoff. By November, 5-foot snowdrifts trapped them just 50 miles from safety. The survival patterns were striking. 53.1% of males died versus 29.4% of females. Most remarkable, all 11 bachelors over 18 perished, while half the married men survived. Women's biological advantages, slower protein metabolism, greater fat reserves, explain part of this disparity. But married men's survival likely relates to stress hormones. Bachelors have higher cortisol during stress, while marriage buffers these responses. Like animal cannibalism occurring for evolutionary reasons, human cannibalism under extreme conditions represents a predictable biological response. The Donner Party's survivors weren't monsters. They were humans pushed beyond breaking, making impossible choices to preserve their families. In the 1950s, Kuru killed 1% of New Guinea's 4 people annually, causing uncontrollable laughter, tremors, and loss of bodily control. Daniel Carlton Gadusek found cerebellums riddled with holes but no viral evidence. In 1961, anthropologists Robert and Shirley Glass linked Kuru to cannibalism rituals, where women and children consumed deceased relatives, including brains extracted from cracked skulls, while men abstained, matching Kuru's demographic pattern perfectly. Kuru originated around 1900 and declined after cannibalism was prohibited. This epidemic proved crucial when bovine spongiform encephalopathy, BSE, emerged in British cattle fed rendered livestock waste. Stanley Prusiner identified the infectious agent as a self-replicating protein called a prion, winning the 1997 Nobel Prize. By 1996, scientists confirmed contaminated beef transmitted variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease to humans. A 2013 UK study found one carrier per 2,000 people, suggesting decades of continued epidemic given Kuru's 50-year incubation period. Anthropologist Simon Underdown hypothesizes prion diseases may have caused Neanderthal extinction 30,000 years ago. Cannibalism appears throughout nature as a response to environmental pressures, from spiders to salamanders. While humans navigate cultural taboos, many societies developed rituals around cannibalism, often viewing it honorably rather than as forbidden. Our fascination persists in popular culture through The Walking Dead and similar works. The real concern isn't psychological aberration, it's widespread cannibalism triggered by environmental collapse. As desertification and climate change threaten global food security, famine-related cannibalism could return devastatingly. Since cannibalism is a normal response to severe stress during famine and warfare, human butchery for food could become commonplace in drought-stricken, overpopulated regions. The 1973 film Soylent Green depicted a dystopian 2022 where people survived on food wafers secretly made from human remains. fiction raising uncomfortable questions about catastrophic shortages. Understanding cannibalism as a predictable response to extreme conditions becomes crucial as we face unprecedented environmental challenges. History proves humans are capable of cannibalism under extreme stress. The question is whether we'll create conditions making such choices necessary again.